Go ahead and get a Bible tonight. Go ahead and turn with us to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. In the 16th verse, we're going to read to verse 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I've been reading lately and studying in the Word of God. And we preached here a little while back about some of the letters of in the book of Galatians about what Paul was trying to say and trying to get across. And this was the part that we didn't get to. And I thought about how that when I read that analogy, that there's plenty of things in my life that I've carried forward that I have no idea why I'm walking with it. And yet I do. So many misconceptions, so many things that hinder my walk with God simply because I let them. And yet God has so much more than my misconceptions and my traditions and what I would perceive it to be. And we begin to read in here, and I begin to wonder why sometimes that it's hard for me to enter into worship. And clearly it's outlined, and Paul kind of had an understanding of that as it was revealed to him. And he said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It wasn't lusting for it. It was lusting against it. It's one thing to lust for something, because you lust for something. I like caramel apples. I lust for a caramel apple. I would like to eat that because it sure is sweet. I want one because it's good. I lust after it, so I'll do whatever I have to get one. Our flesh lusts against the Spirit of God. That part of me that doesn't want to adore God. The part of me that doesn't want to enter into His presence is hindered, because that part of me that carries all of my sins, part of me that carries all those things in me that hinders my walk. And I often wonder how long that God is going to tolerate all those things in me that I think's all right to live with. And I'm realizing that more and more in my life that I can't live in my flesh and walk in the Spirit. Because when I come into church, I realize that when the Spirit of God comes through, I'm in one place or the other. I can't outline that any other way. My life either leads me to know that I'm either in a place with God where I am secure, where everything is fine, where I'm spiritually safe, or there's something in me that needs to be adjusted. There's something in me that needs to change. That flesh in me will come against the Spirit of God. I'm sure that there's been points in your life when there's been worship around you, and we've resisted because we were too proud. Or I'm sure there's been points in time in our life when the presence of God was there to help us, but we refused because we weren't able to believe. Irregardless of what it is that we place in that position, there's always going to try to be something that hinders you from being able to have God as the center of your life. I read in the Bible about entering into His gates with thanksgiving, to enter into His courts with praise. And as I've been studying, it opened up to me that I've got to enter into the gates first, successfully in my life, before I ever get to the courts. I've got to have thankfulness in me. Thankfulness in me gets rid of the parts of me that hinders me from entering into the Spirit of God. The parts of me that want to live in sin, that want to refuse God, have to begin to flee if I choose to be thankful to God. Because the flesh that comes against the Spirit flees when you're thankful to God. I know this sounds like tough instruction, but this is like the key that opens the door to your happiness. My life is nothing without the Spirit of God. I can go into the courts with praise when I'm thankful for something. Amen. I'm thankful today for what God has done. I'm thankful today that He reached down and saved me. I'm thankful that He's still on the throne, still almighty, still powerful, still able to do, still able to take care of me. I'm thankful for those things. That helps me to open up the door past that part of me that is not able to go through the gate. Praise God, there's a part of me that's not able to go through that part. The part that makes the difference, that allows me to go through and be thankful, is the blood of Jesus Christ. When I have that applied, I'm able to be thankful to Him. I'm able to go through being thankful. When I enter into the courts, my praise is effective. It's not just a sound. It's not just a tinkling cymbal. It's something that resounds in me. Something that comes alive in my spirit. Something that is exciting in me. Me and Angela read over these scriptures the other day, and I said that sometimes we just need to read over these parts and see if there's any of these that are in our life. Is there peace in my life today? Is there gentleness in my life today? Is there goodness in me, Brent? Do I live a life of faith? The fruit of the Spirit is an abundance of all these things together. Not just one. I could love everybody, but He wants us to have the faith and the meekness and the long-suffering. Praise God. Wants us to be fruitful. And I didn't just want to speak on this alone, but I don't want to read everything to do with it. So I hope that you can go home and read this on your own. But as an applied example, you read in 1 Kings in chapter 18, starts out, I mark these in verse 19. It says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So in that time, then it goes down in 22, "Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men." Back in that time, there was a challenge that was going forth. Praise God. And when you read about Baal in that time, Baal was representative to many things. One of them being the name Hagag, which was representative to being god of rain or god of fertility. And so they all showed up for this big, great event. And Elijah was showing up alone. Even I, as the only. Praise God. We won't show up even I as the only. We wait till even I as the 50 or even I as the 60 before we'll begin to move. Praise God. We're going somewhere. And I'm trying to do it in a quick way. But he issued the challenge as it goes forth in 23, 24, and 25. And he said to choose one bullock and lay it all out. And then they begin to start at like verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. How many of us ever feel like that we've made a lot of noise, but no progress at church? Be willing to be brave and honest with me tonight. How many of us feel like that we show up and make a lot of commotion, but no progress? That was what was going on with the 450 of them. They were making a lot of commotion. They were cutting on their flesh. They were leaping up upon the altar, as you read on, trying to do everything that they could to make a scene. And there's a lot of that that's happening, making a scene, making a commotion, making a noise, making something to try to draw attention. But even after everything that they did, there was nothing that came from it. Sometimes we think it's all in one thing or all in another. But hallelujah. As you begin to read on in there, it's more than just in making a commotion. Because you can think that you're doing the right things to cut your flesh down. Come on now. We can think that we're doing everything the right way, but if we're not being spiritually led to do the things that God's asking us to do, we're still not getting anywhere. No voice, no progress, no fire to come down to burn out and deliver. Praise God. Praise God. And I don't want to get in a place where we're making a lot of commotion and no progress. I want to come in and be able to be faithful to God. I want to be able to trust Him and not have to be dependent. And I thought about it, and something that touched and blessed my heart, and I had to write it down, is that it's not in the numbers. Giving glory to anything other than God will not work. God is powerful enough to defy anything that we would consider impossible. And as you start in verse 31, Elijah went and set everything back up that they had messed up from everything that they had done. And he goes through and he said, put the water on one time. Put it on again. Put it on a third time. And it ran all about it in verse 35. And it came to pass, and he waited until the evening. Let's get to that part in 36. And said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known that this day thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Do you hear the faith in those words? Does that not bless your soul? 450 people making the loudest racket that you can imagine. People trying to pack churches in to make the difference. Do you not hear the words of faith in just one? And we think that we're ill-equipped to be able to do what we need to do. And it's in the faith that's inside of you. Praise God. That part of us that when we begin not to gratify our flesh and begin to follow the Spirit of God, you'll be able to make those faithful statements in your life. And they'll be able to take hold. And you won't sound like you're making a commotion. You'll actually see the mountains begin to move in your life. And it won't just be a noise. And you won't just be waiting for the fire to come down. You'll feel the fire of God down inside you. You'll know the victory's on its way. You'll live in certainty and not in defeat. I'm tired of living in a life where I feel like that it's nothing but just noise. I want to follow the Spirit of God, even if I walk alone and face 450,000 people. But if I know that God is with me, that's all that matters to me. Praise God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. We'll wait before the last part. Because it sounds good up to that point. They were convinced at that point. The words of one person's faith and belief made others believe that, hey, what I was trying to do is not working. Let's fast forward that to today. Our words of faith and prayer, our obedience today, our demonstrated practice of spiritual obedience is what is going to compel people to say He is the God. He is the Lord. He is real. He is something. It's not just a noise and a commotion. There's people that have services all the time that you could see that there's a veil on their eyes because they've not been led to the truth and they think they're just fine and they don't know where they're going to be because they've never felt the conviction to know. The flesh has not been directed by the Spirit because the church is not leading and following by the Spirit because we're not entering into that place in our life where we're being Spirit-led. Praise God. I love to preach. I love it. But you know, preaching is nothing without my love for God. I love to sing. I love to pray. I love to write. But none of that means anything without my love for God. I love people. And I love to work in ministry for people. But none of it means anything without a love for God. And to sum that all up, I love God. And I know Him. But if my lifestyle does not reflect that, I can't expect to make a difference. Come on, church. Come on. I can't expect to make a difference. I can't expect to be able to leap for joy when my life is in turmoil. I can't expect to live in peace when I'm continually in torment. When I let my flesh gratify everything in my life instead of having faith to believe that that which is in me is greater. How many of us allow that to be greater? I'm trying and it's working. When you allow it to, it works. Praise God. Praise God, and it shows on you. It works in you. You'll want to be at church. You'll want to be obedient. You'll want to worship God. You won't have to be told. You won't have to be instructed. The desire in you will want to go. The desire in you will want to reach out to others and say, brother, sister, do you know the Lord? It'll be there. It'll not be something you have to battle with and say, oh, I don't know if I really want to go tonight or not. That's your flesh battling with you. We're not strong enough yet. That Spirit of God needs to be stronger in you. We should already know that we're going to be there on Friday. We should already know that we're coming to Sunday school. We should already know that we're going to church on Sunday night. That should be there. The Spirit of God should be stronger than that. Should be stronger than that. That which is lusting against it has to begin to be put down. But it can't be put down with something that isn't real. Praise and worship is now being commonly associated with music. But it has nothing to do with music. What do you think they did when they didn't have electric instruments? It's about a lifestyle. Worship to God is a lifestyle. It's a love. I know what God has done for me. And for that, my worship every day is in love because I know I would not be here had it not been for Christ. Amen. Amen. We need not take one day for granted out in this world and trying to live out in sin and think that we're going to just be all right when we lay our head down at night. We better know that the love of Christ is in me. that is in you. Praise God. I'm reaching out to you tonight because I'm trying to get us to realize the enemy wants us to lose our desire. Wants us to let that part of the flesh that's lusting after it, kill that part out. So we stop caring about going to church. So we stop caring about enjoying the beginning of service. So we stop caring about supporting your preachers. So we stop caring about going out beyond church. Is your toes hurting yet? We've not even got real yet. There's people that's starving today. There's people that's homeless today. We've not even got there yet. We can't even get people that's lost saved yet. We can't even get there because we're too busy battling this part in me. And that's selfish today. That's selfish of me. If I'm busy working on me all the time, that's like me sitting in front of a mirror putting makeup on 24/7. Come on. Grooming myself all the time. I'm the only person in the world that matters. Christ did not come so that he was the only person in the world that matters. He came and died and provided a sacrifice so that we could all be free from the bondage of sin, so that we could all be delivered from that which was holding us captive. So once we are free, that we're able to do something different than what we were doing. He did not save you to live the same old way. As we read in verse 40 of that same chapter, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. So they acknowledged that God was real, but it didn't stop there. Somebody in that time that was going to challenge God was also going to face the wrath of the matter. Hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. And the sin of this world is the sin of this world. And that we either know Christ and have Him living in us, or we don't. And we either have a desire to want to work for God, or we don't. We cannot serve two masters. Praise God. You ever watched a child when they're young? It's funny to watch them do this. When they're really young, it's kind of like how we are with our walk with God. You give them two toys at the same time. They have to have their focus on just one. So they'll put one down. Because their attention is devoted to one. Their cognitive development at the time is focused to just one. We in our life get focused in sin. We can't live for Christ. Darkness and light have no fellowship. When we put down God, we've picked up sin. When we're living in sin, we can't expect our life to be fruitful. I can't expect to have peace in my life if I'm living in sin. I can't expect to be fruitful and have everything that I need and expect every blessing to be there if I'm still battling the same old things. I need to be able to stand in front of 450 people and say, even I am the only one. Lord, I know that you're God, and I'm believing that you can send the fire. That's the kind of faith that we're going to have in this day. That's the kind of faith that it's going to have to take to get us out of our lifestyles. We can't live that way anymore. Can't live patty caking ourselves anymore. Got to get out of that. Got to get a desire in us to want us to go forward. When you enter into the courts, you know what you have access to? Power. You have access to power. You're able to move things in your life that you weren't able to outside the gates. Hallelujah. I don't want to be outside the gates. I want to go inside the courts. I want to go inside the courts. Let me read this last part to you, please. James chapter 5. It says in 17, Elias was a man subject to the passions we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. When you consider Elijah, pray that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. There's two things that just stirs my heart. Not only the faith that he had to believe that it wouldn't rain, but the power of God to hold the rain for 3 years and 6 months. And when you read that first part, that he was just like us, he faced the same things we did. Sometimes we're like, I need T.D. Jakes to get in this church. That'd fix us. Let's get Joel Osteen in here. If we could raise enough money to get him in here, that would fix everything. Elijah is a person just like us and faced the same things that we did. And you know what he had, just like we have? Faith. He had faith to believe that it wouldn't rain. He had faith to believe that it would rain. Praise God. And God moved in both accounts. God moved in both requests. The faith was unwavering. God's power and movement was unwavering. He was there. He was able. So what is that saying tonight? That if we can learn to believe together, the power that we can possess from beginning to end would be able to change lives. Change lives. Once my life was in need, and God moved for it. Because there was faith present, God was present, the Spirit of God was present. Had nothing to do with me except that I was there. But somebody called out for me. Somebody called out for me. Enemy's trying everything. I'm going to be real with you tonight. He's trying everything that he can to get us to stop, get us to quit, to get us to not to believe, to get us to stop having faith that God's able. Wants us to turn around and be like, who do you think you are? One against 450. Go home. Wants us to feel like that we're just this big in the midst of what we're going through. Wants us to have no faith in the day that we live in. But I'm encouraging you tonight to remember what it is that you have inside of you. The words of Jesus said it like this. He said, where two or three would agree that he would be in the midst. You know what you can do with Jesus Christ in the midst of something? He healed people that was blind. And he raised the dead. Praise God. Amen. Delivered people that was afflicted with many demons. Many afflictions. So don't you know that Satan doesn't want two or three to agree? Amen. Come on, church. Amen. He doesn't want two or three to agree. That's what I feel like God's been leading me in lately. Doesn't want two or three to agree. Doesn't ever want it to get off the ground. Doesn't want even one person to step out in faith. So if he can get enough people snuffed out in life before they get here, it'll never get off the ground to where people can be helped. But you see, he back then even came as one. Which tells me that whether I see two or three other people go in front of me, that I even have to go as one into the house of God. That I can't wait on 450 people to start making a commotion before I start following the anointing of God. There's going to be something that comes by you one day, and he's going to want you to get up and to begin to worship him, and we'll either heed to what God is trying to say, or we'll let it pass us by. And one day, I assure you, if you begin to receive what God is sending out your way, you will not regret that decision. The Spirit of God will begin to manifest in your life. You'll begin to feel the strongholds begin to fall off of you. You'll begin to see your life in a different point of view. Though that haze that was upon your eyes will begin to flee, because you'll begin to see the sins of your life as they truly are. You won't live in darkness. You won't gratify the flesh. For if you have the Spirit, you'll walk in it. Just like we read, if you have it, you'll walk with it. On that same manner, if you're lost, You'll walk lost. If we're not asking God to be with us every day, then we're walking around without guidance. We're walking around without that salvation, that assurance to know that we're all right. Do you know Christ tonight? I know Christ. But where would I be if I left it just at knowing Christ 7, 8 years ago? Where would I be in all the things that I've failed in if I didn't continually turn to Christ and repent? Where would I be if I hadn't admitted my faults? Said, God, help me to improve. Lord, where would I be without you? I just want to come in and magnify him because he's been so good to me. And I'm in a place in my life now where I'm not ashamed. And I just try to help everybody that I can to learn. And I want us to not be afraid or ashamed of what God has done or what he wants to perform in your life. Because the biggest hindrance to you is doing nothing at all. The biggest hindrance to you is doing nothing at all. Not repenting. Not obeying God. Not lifting your hands. Not stepping out and doing that thing that he's asking you to do is the biggest hindrance you can have in your life. Not getting down and praying when you're at home at night. Not getting up and praying in the morning. Biggest hindrance that you could do in your life. Doing nothing is killing you. Just because I know God is not enough. Just because I know him is not enough. Just because I know the Bible is not enough. Just because I know somebody else that knows God is not enough. It's not enough. I've got to know it for myself. The Spirit has to live in me that which comes against me in me is able to be put to flight when the Spirit is there to move it. I know when I was hooked on drugs, it was my, and it always will be, the first thing I ever testified to. But you know, God has shown me through that, that that was one of those things that was lusting against the Spirit of God in me. That's an applied example you can use. It was something that was lusting against it in me. And only until I allowed the Spirit of God to be greater than my addiction was I able to be free. And any hindrance in your life tonight that you allow the Spirit of God to be less than is holding you back from being forward and being greater in God. Amen. Point blank. Amen. Just putting it out there for you. You can shoot the messenger, that's fine. I'll just take it like Stephen did. I love you. We're just going to put it out there and say it like it is. If we do not learn to allow the Spirit of God to dominate the things we're weak in, we'll never grow. Last thing I'll say is this. If Elijah was just as we were and faced the same things we did, we really don't have any excuse but to just believe God and to go for it. I don't have any excuse to hold back and not come forward when I need help or need prayer. No matter how big or small that it is. Some people prayed in that time for their sight to be restored. Some people prayed at that time for salvation. Some people prayed at the time because it was the last meal that they had to eat and they and their son were going to die. Some people prayed for victory because the battle was going to surely overtake them. People's prayers were different all through the course of the Bible as you begin to read it. But one thing was still the same. Those that were victorious with God had faith and believed Him. Had faith and believed Him. And they didn't hold back and they didn't waver from it. And as soon as they prayed it, they didn't go back to what they were doing. There was a change. And the part that alarms me is that Elijah went and slew every single one of those people. How in the world were they able to round up that many people? Surely God was with them. I don't want to be in a place where I'm just making commotion and living in sin. And judgment comes for my life. And I'm not ready to go to heaven. I'm just putting it out there tonight. We don't put that out there enough. That'll be my last note for the night. I want to go to heaven. I do. I want to make heaven my home. I want Christ in my life. Hallelujah. I want the Spirit of God to live in me every day. I have to have it. It's my new addiction. I've replaced my old one with a new one.
I'm hooked on something great. I'm not the same. And you don't have to live in the bondage that you're in. You can change your life tonight. I'm standing here in faith like Elijah was in that day, letting you know in faith that you don't have to live that way anymore. That tonight that you can come forward and we'll believe together, two or three or five or six or however many want to agree together, that your life be different in the name of Jesus from this day forward. Amen.